everyone, and welcome to the Brickville Podcast, your hub for LEGO information, rankings, and more. I'm Mickey, and that is over there, Ohm.
Hi!
Back again! And today, well, we're gonna do a couple things. We're gonna catch up, we're gonna introduce a new topic. I mean, technically they're all new topics, of course, and yeah, just kinda do some, dare I say, armchair LEGO designing, shall we call it, even though neither of us are in armchairs.
So, you might hear me through a robotic voice, because I sound like this. I lost my voice, that's why I've been out for 2 weeks. Back to you!
Oh, joy, this is gonna be so much fun! Ohm, as a robotic voice, or maybe as yourself, who knows? Maybe you are a robotic voice. The world may never know the truth. How was your week, or weeks, even though you've been a bit sick? Any updates that you would like to share with me and folks?
I bought Grimald Place.
That's pretty cool. I think that's a pretty good set, recently released. Any thoughts about it?
Is good.
I think you're glitching. That's good to know. Me, myself, personally, recently I purchased a full set of the Muppets minifigures that I've currently added to my, LEGO Ideas copy of the Sesame Street set, so they can coexist with their Muppet friends and, I mean, they're kind of family.
Glad to hear, Mickey.
That's good to hear your voice again, Ohm. Any thoughts about... I don't know what I'm doing.
Yas Queen.
Oh, no. Okay. Any thoughts about the LegoCon sets that you want to talk about? Like the Castle, Galaxy Explorer, or any of the Star Wars sets? Maybe the Sanctum Sanctorum. I know you like modular buildings.
Sanctum is good.
Any more detail? No? Okay. What are your thoughts on LEGO's initiative to kind of reinvent new sets for the 90th anniversary of the Castle and the Galaxy Explorer spaceship?
Modulars are good.
Yes, we knew this. We all like modulars here on the Brickbuild Podcast. We're all big fans, eh? Yay, modular buildings. This is great.
Castle is fine and pricey.
It is their 90th anniversary set. I wouldn't expect anything less than something, you know, $400. And again, it is very large. It's like 3.5 feet wide when you fully fold it out, which is pretty big. I would say that's a pretty good deal. And let's not forget the Galaxy Explorer, which is only $100 for something so large compared to what we sadly get over in Star Wars. Star Wars fans cry out in pain every day.
I like space.
Don't we all? Don't we all like space? Both LEGO and in reality. Space, the vacuumless void.
Classic space is good.
Yes, it is classic. Classic enough that it's able to be brought back in a reboot form, as is norm for today.
Good.
Great.
Good.
Yes, so good.
Good.
Oh,
good.
No.
Good.
I think you're glitching again, Ohm. This is not gonna work well. Oh, news! Nothing has happened since LegoCon. The only news that is in existence is that LEGO is changing the CMF series from bags to boxes in order to apparently increase or decrease their... I don't know, however you want to say it. They're trying to increase their sustainability by changing them from single-use plastic bags into cardboard boxes with single-use plastic bags inside of them. Because, you know, what else can they do? I think this is an interesting move. It's rather controversial because one of the major things that have come into existence about the LEGO collectible minifigure series is that people stand there for minutes and hours, not hours, hopefully. Hopefully. Looking at you. Yes, you in the corner. Don't stand there for hours. And we feel through the bags to find the pieces, to find the minifigures we want. if you can't do that, what's gonna happen is what has happened with the video series, and that is that people are gonna open the boxes and see what's inside, and if they like it, they'll buy it, otherwise they're just gonna leave it there, and that is called theft. And we all know shoplifting is bad, don't we? That's the moral of the story here today. So yeah, that's pretty much the only news. There are some sets that have been officially revealed recently, but they've all been leaked in the past, and we've all talked about them. There's also been, recently, in accordance with this collectible minifigure series change, there was recently a, poll that was released on Brickset that was sent out to the folks who frequent the Brickset news site. Hashtag not sponsored. Brickset has concluded, through this poll evidence, at least from the general populace who frequent Brickset, which, granted, is not the probably not the majority of people who purchase LEGO, but is a fair amount of people. They've concluded that this change will most likely, if not definitely, harm sales of collectible minifigure series, unless their quality goes way up and people definitely want to buy these minifigures, because otherwise, then there's always the chance that you buy, like, six of these boxes now, and they're just all the same minifigure, and where's the fun in that? Because then you just wasted a bunch of money if you don't want that minifigure five other times. If it's not like a clonable minifigure or something like that. These minifigures, if they're in these boxes, then their sales are going to suffer, because while the blind bag thing is something that has spread to other things, or it started in other things that has moved to LEGO, it works, and the reasoning for changing it due to sustainability is weird, because the boxes are bigger, which means you can ship less per box, which means that you're going to need more boxes, which means you're going to need to travel more and ship more, which means that your sustainability is, again, kind of equalizing. And this is kind of, I guess you could see it as a money move, although we're not quite sure where the financial benefits are, if indeed there is a decrease in sales for these minifigure series. There's always the chance that there's going to be a price increase, which would be really bad, because they're already pretty expensive as they are. $5 a minifigure is a lot. And so I would say that if they're just going to change it to boxes, they're going to suffer from sales. The sustainability thing kind of cancels out with the shipping increase. And it's a weird choice that I hope eventually changes after a couple series, if it actually is going to go through based on this kind of negative public response we've seen.
I'm going to talk like this now. It's weird, but at least it allows me to talk.
That's great news. Robot Ohm has been vanquished and has been thrown into the abyss.
Indeed, I stabbed it with my sword.
What is the name of your sword? Your armor, your shield? Because, of course, they need legendary names.
Well, of course, I am Sir Ohm.
Ah, but of course.
Add my gear. My sword is named. Thank you. It's an underscore. And, my shield is named. It's an exclamation mark.
Oh.
And my armor, its name is, it's just a comma. I like punctuation.
Punctuation is a great gift to the world. Thank you, English writer, director, people, I don't know.
So anyway, my point was, LEGO could have avoided all of this if they had switched to paperbacks. It would have saved space. Well, we're kept it the same, so carbon emissions are good. And it would have the feeling ability. It would be an all-around win. But apparently, they rip. I wouldn't have known.
Yeah. They could have probably experimented more with the paper things and found out a better system of production, producing these paper bags that they would be, you know, stronger and not prone to ripping. But apparently they didn't want to do that. And instead they're going this strange box route that I'm sure will be decried for generations to come as a severe folly on LEGO's part. So transitioning to our main topic for today's episode, or tonight's episode, I don't know when you're listening to this, you weirdo.
Good morning, good evening, and good night.
And also, good midnight. Thank you.
Jim Carrey says hi.
Oh, indeed. Jim Carrey has dropped into the weird studio that we were in.
And it's actually the Truman Show!
Oh no, it's the brick-built show brought to you by weird not Steve Jobs in a sky dome in Los Angeles.
You know he's not real because he doesn't wear turtlenecks. He wears Dickies. And Escots, because he's actually Fred from Scooby-Doo.
No!
And he's lost all of his hair! That majestic hair.
No!
So flamboyant. So perfect. In every way. So perfect.
Whatever shall we do in this strange new world? Hey, that's the name of the movie.
I've lost a great love.
Book?
I've lost a great love.
Play. Who knows? Moving on to our main topic for today's episode, we have a rather interesting topic, kind of off the beaten path, but something that means a lot to us. But both me and Ohm are big fans of musicals. We have both co-acted, you could call it, in a variety of musicals. We've both taken part in different shows together with the same theater company. We're both fans of a lot of current and past musicals, fans of both Broadway musicals, as well as just, you know, like, your average movie musical that have been kind of having some sort of resurgence lately. Who knows? Joker 2. Having a musical spin to it, we'll see how that comes out, even though I never even saw the first Joker, so who knows what's happening with that. But
it'll probably be a jukebox musical.
Ooh, that will anchor two groups of people. The comic book fans and the musical fans! Except the jukebox musical fans, I actually don't mind them, but that's just me. So we thought, hey, we're a big fan of these musicals, we're a big fan of movie musicals, we're a big fan of Lego, why not crash them together, smoosh them together, and kind of just form something that we thought would be cool. A sort of mini-theme, even though it's not really thematically tied together other than they're musicals. And we thought, let's come up with 4 or 5 sets. In this case, we decided, let's come up with 5 sets with 5 different price points, $20, $40, $80, $100, $120 each. And we said, let's make something that kind of fits this new adult-oriented, within-reason product that LEGO has been coming out with recently. In their ideas, and their Creator Expert, or 18 Plus, or Icons, or whatever in the world it's called now. It's had 3 names in 3 years. Whatever they're going to call it now. And we said, what if we made these sets? They would, of course, have to be appropriate for LEGO's brand values to keep up with the quality of the brand, but they could also be kind of more targeted towards the adults, like how we've seen in some specific sitcoms that have been made, sets like Seinfeld, Big Bang Theory, Friends, whatever you want to say. Of course, we didn't want anything too dark or too much that would be able to be reenacted or shown in a feature. And finally, our third rule, well, like a lot of rules, but our third rule was that these sets must not be from a previously existing property that have been in a LEGO set. For instance, there have been Moana sets in the past, when that movie first came out, and we said, hey, if it's like that, or like another classic Disney musical animated movie that already had sets come out in the recent years or past years or whenever, then we shouldn't make sense of them, because there already have been sets. And so, we kind of restricted that. Sometimes we did kind of mess around where it's like, oh, they did the larger property, but not this specific thing. Or like, oh, they did a minifigure one time in a collectible minifigure series, and I'd like them to flesh that out or something like that. And so, I think these sets that we've made are really a good example of how we were able to kind of show our own personal tastes in musicals and such, and also our own kind of wish lists in LEGO sets that we wish existed in the world. And again, we had 5 sets, one at $20, one at $40, one at $80, one at $100, and one at $120. A pretty wide range of sets. Some of them are more expensive, some of them are cheaper, so you can have a whole range of things. You can have dioramas, playsets, vignettes, vehicles, whatever you want to do. Although vehicles aren't really present in musicals, because, I don't know, they just sing. They can't, I mean, they could sing while they're driving, and hey, we'll get to that later! Yeah! So let's start. First set that we're gonna cover is we're gonna kind of do a back and forth format of this, where we're gonna do my $20 set, Ohm's $20 set, my $40 set, Ohm's $40 set, so on and so forth until we get through all the sets. We're able to kind of talk about them. We're gonna talk about the set, kind of the scene, what musical it's from, of course, the minifigures we'd like to include. We've set some limits as to how many minifigures would correspond with each set. Some of them we added more, some of them we had less, you never know. And then also we included any of the features in the build, or kind of just a description of how the build would look like. So my $20 set, kind of a weird one, but I liked it, is from the movie and the musical Tick Tick Boom, starring America's sweetheart, Andrew Garfield, our good friend, I don't know. And this would be a $20 set, kind of a small build. It would have just one minifigure of Jonathan Larson, or Andrew Garfield, I don't know, whatever you want. And it would be from that one scene where he sings a song called Why, where he goes out to Central Park and he finds the Delacorte Theater where there's just a piano on a stage. And he sings this very heartfelt, emotional song about him and his friends and how he's kind of moving through time. So this set would really just be a small stage, a small plinth, if you will, along with a hopefully very detailed build of a piano that would hopefully be the best piano that Lego's ever built. And this would be just kind of a small vignette set. I would just like it, because there was a, I liked the scene, and I liked the movie, I liked the musical, I liked the, I liked how it was scored and directed and all that, and I just kind of, I just thought it was an interesting choice for a holding us something from musicals, and I thought that'd just be a pretty cool choice. So yeah, my $20 set is a tick tick boom set with Jonathan Larson sitting at a piano in Central Park.
I haven't seen Tick Tick Boom, but I can appreciate your tastes. I've seen clips. I know it's a wonderful musical, and it has Lynn doing the film, so that makes it great. I appreciate your tastes. That'll be all. Again, in my sexy voice, I will do my $20 set.
You sound like a trailer voice.
I do. My $20 set is based on Wicked. It has two Wicked figures. Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West, and Glinda, the Good Witch of the North. I love The Wizard of Oz, and so do you, I believe.
Book. Yeah, I was in it twice. Fun fact.
He was the wizard.
I was. It was very weird.
Anyway, the scene is defying gravity.
But of course.
And there's a flight rig like in the original Sanctum Sanctorum. That'll be all. Comments.
I'm a fan of this. I've seen Wicked maybe like one time. Sorry. But I was in The Wizard of Oz twice again, and I don't know, I think it is, from what I remember, this is a very powerful scene, and it's kind of rather landmark, not landmark, but important in musical theater history. It's like kind of a remarkable scene that's like, oh yeah, that scene, yeah, that's important. And it should be kind of a good representation, because what we're trying to achieve here is kind of a broad scale of lots of different musical types that are able to show the full spectrum of the medium. Yeah, those are kind of just my thoughts. I think that'd be a pretty cool set. Moving on to the second price point out of five. The $40 price point, my set, although this might be too much for $40, but I don't really care. I think they could do it if they really wanted to. They could really downsize it. Would be a, how coincidentally, a Wizard of Oz set! It would have minifigures of Dorothy, the Tin Man, Scarecrow, the Cowardly Lion, and a figure of Toto. would basically be very similar, if not the exact same, as the ones from that one weird LEGO Movie 2 collectible minifigure series, where they had all those figures. It would be very similar to those. Maybe more detailed, maybe less detailed. I know they had a lot of arm printing and so on and so forth. I don't know. I would like it, but who knows? They probably destroyed the molds. So you never know. But this set would be a diorama, kind of similar to the ones that we're seeing in Star Wars, and there was one in Jurassic World, Jurassic Park, whatever you want to call it. This could be done for more, but I would like it. $40. A small diorama with just the yellow brick road, kind of straight, but kind of twisting a bit, so it'd be more varied and not as boring. And it would just have some small, kind of almost microscale, but still, like, it would be like, oh, that's off in the distance, but it's just to show some scale. And on the right side, there would be a small Munchkin house facade that'd be like the smallest like corner ever, just to kind of represent the beginning of their journey. And then on the left side, there would be a very small microscale Emerald City kind of built to be like, oh, look, it's off in the distance. And in between these two facades, in the very small space in between, there would just be like two trees to represent the forest where they find the Tin Man. And then maybe a very small field or something for the Scarecrow, and then probably a poppy field with, like, two poppy flowers. They could do whatever they want with the middle part to represent all these sort of different areas with Find the Cowardly Lion, or Tin Man, or Scarecrow, you know, fall asleep and are carried off by mice. That's what happened in the book! So yeah, I think it'd be cool, kind of just sort of representing the whole first and second act journey of the Wizard of Oz movie and musical. I'd be a big fan of it. Minifigures are cool. What are your thoughts, Ohm in a deep voice?
I'd buy it in a second. I think the only thing you could add would be the Wicked Witch of the East would just be pinstriped Lego legs that you could stick under the house. As long as they include that, I'd buy it.
There's so much you could do with this movie and musical. It's just a question of budget, and I found that this is where I place this specific set idea in the $40 price range. It could be more, it could be like, I would like it with all the changes that I want, I would like it for maybe like $50, maybe even $60, but who knows. There have been some crazy price points that are both good and bad coming from LEGO in their more creator expert icons range, where there's been some really good price points per piece, per size, so you never know what they could do. Whatever. You never know what price point they could assign this. Moving on over to Ohm's $40 price point.
The Muppet Movie.
Wow.
Okay, well, it's based off the scene and the song. Can you picture that? We have Dr. Teeth, Zoot, and Floyd, along with Kermit the Frog to finish off the Electric Mayhem Band, though Kermit's not a part of it, and the bus, the Electric Mayhem Bus, is seen throughout the movie, and it's beautiful. Yeah.
I like this as a great chance to get more Muppet minifigures. I would have liked, I don't exactly remember, which brings shame upon me, that I don't exactly remember when Scooter is introduced, if at all, in that movie.
That's the moment.
Not at the moment. See, I think maybe that would be a good place, if this was kind of a bigger set, to put Scooter so they could get more of the Muppets minifigures past the collectible minifigure series. But I do also like how you went a more realistic route and also included Kermit, because that would be most definite if they were to make Muppet sets in, like, right now times.
Come on, we've seen what happened with Harry Potter. Yeah. There's Harry Potter in almost every single set.
Yeah, I mean, he's the main character, and the camera and book angles are kind of framed around him. But yeah. So you never know what they could do. I mean, I love the Muppets. I love the Muppet minifigures. There are some exclusions, and this would be a good set with an iconic vehicle that would kind of, I don't know, it would fill in some gaps. It would be a good set. If they do it well, who knows? Moving on to the third price point for $80. My choice is from the classic musical that basically relaunched the Disney company, Mary Poppins, back in 1960. I don't know, some time period in the 60s. And it is, this is kind of a weird set that I spent way too much time thinking on. Not as much as another set that we'll get to later where I spent literally 15 minutes and it came out. For starters, it would have minifigures of Mary Poppins, Bert, Jane, Michael, and then however many chimney sweeps you want to include. You could include none, you could include like two, I don't know. And there's also the option that you can include the two bank parents if you want. You don't have to, but I don't know. It would always be nice. You could also include the dude, who I'm blanking on his name, who flies and, like, drinks tea on a chandelier if you wanted. I don't know. But the idea that I had for this would be, it would kind of be a diorama, kind of shallow, maybe like 6 or 7 studs deep, with a kind of a brick built, kind of similar to the Starry Night set that recently released, of like a London skyline backdrop with the moon and stuff and clouds and stuff, and it would have a rooftop kind of build on top of chimneys and weird slanty skylights, and I would like there for the, in this kind of very small diorama, for there to be some turntables, maybe some launchers or catapults or stuff, to be able to recreate, somewhat within reason, the Step in Time dance. So this would be a Step in Time scene on this side, and then what I would like, kind of unlikely, is on the other side of the London skyline, for there to be built up kind of the chalk drawing that they go into, and have maybe like a small segment of the carousel that would be kind of just like 3D poking out of it, so that would kind of mimic what the scene actually looked like, where it was 2D, but then parts of it looked 3D, so that would be pretty cool. And there would be some carousel horses. Maybe you could even detach the horses, and those could be like movable figures, just like detachable, and you could play with those. I don't know. That would be, of course, from the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious and general chalk drawing in the park scene. This is a cool set idea that I thought would be pretty interesting. I might mock it off later in Lego Stud.io or Lego Digital Designer. I don't know, something like that. Any thoughts, Ohm, on this?
I had the pleasure of seeing this musical live. It's a wonderful musical, and I'm so glad to see it being realized in Lego form. I don't know if I'd be able to buy the full thing, but I would totally at least buy the Mary Poppins minifigure off of Bricklink, and then just have that on fishing wire just randomly in my Lego city.
That is fair.
Like an elf on the shelf, just in different places.
That'd be a great hidden Mary Poppins concept for any of you modular city builders out there. Kicking it over to Ohm for your $80 price point.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice! We're talking Beetlejuice. Actually, here's an impression. It's just my normal voice. A Beetlejuice!
Spot on as always, Ohm.
No, actually, I can do a really good impression when my voice is normal. Maybe I'll treat you to that one of these episodes. Anyway, this set would be $80. It is the exorcism scene. And this is from the Broadway musical, of course. The much better one than the musical. That's the Tim Burton film. Than the Tim Burton film, which is fine. I love Tim Burton too, but I'm sorry, this musical's incredible. We have Beetlejuice, Lydia, Dietz, Delia Dietz, Barbara, Adam, and Otho, and Beetlejuice.
Of course.
And we have like a little mock-up of the house. So we'd have the sandworm, we'd have some features that you could show possession. Kind of like hidden side, where you could turn things around, have like the haunted pig. The shrimps that turn, well, that'd be kind of hard, but you know, the pig, that would be very cool. And you could do the Deo scene. And I think it'd be really fun. In fact, all of these sets should come with like a sound brick for one specific song. I think that'd be perfect.
I do think that'd be pretty cool, the sound brick idea. I hadn't thought of that. I'm a big fan of this idea, mainly because I really love the Broadway musical set, and I love how kind of dynamic it is, both in how it changes throughout the course of the show. I've never seen the show, but I've seen snippets, and my members of my family have gone to see it. How dynamic it is throughout the show, and how it changes with how the mood is throughout the show. And I think that'd be pretty cool to see in the Lego set form. Moving on to the $100 price point, this is going to be something that we might want to discuss together. Mainly because we have chosen the exact same show, the exact same set idea, and very, very similar minifigures. Oh, would you care to explain more?
No.
Okay, I guess I am stuck doing it, but that's fine. This will be, of course, from the international phenomenon that is Hamilton, a musical that was released in 2015. And I remember I saw it in some weird catalog. I was like, coming soon to a theater near you, Hamilton. I'm like, eh, that's a weird musical idea about old people from America. Ah, that's weird. And then we're like, oh, here we are. 6 years, 7 years later. Oh, that's weird. Now the next 15 to 10 minutes are going to be filled with references, mainly brought to you by Ohm and a deep voice.
I'm waiting for it. Just take it away, Mickey.
Okay, both of our set's ideas were the exact same thing, but if you have any specific things, Ohm, that you thought were different from my idea, but my idea was a version of the set, of course, which is mimicking the dockyards that are kind of where Hamilton entered into America in New York. And this would be, there would be the floor, there would be the, kind of the brick walls, the wood scaffolding everywhere, all the staircases. I would like it if there was some sort of function to be able to move the staircase on the left side up and down, although that might be asking too much. And then, of course, on the floor in the middle part, through some sort of use of those, the new-ish splat gears, would be a turntable system. I would like it if they were able to somehow make it into a double turntable with an outer ring in the center turntable, but who knows if they could pull that off, I don't know. I'd also like it if they were able to include some largish, smallish props that would be like desk that a lot of things happen. They probably reuse the desk in the show, but like Lafayette jumps off of it, George Washington uses it a couple times, Hamilton uses it a couple times. Also, like, there to be a table that's, like, from the Story of Tonight scenes.
And the room where it happens.
Of course. And then maybe there could be, like, the piano from Lois Hallway?
And also Take a Break.
Yes, there we go. That's what it's from. And, yeah. And so, there are a lot of characters in this show. So, the minifigure ideas that I had, personally, are Hamilton. I don't know what act you could do him, and you could, for all these minifigures, it would be cool. It would probably be really expensive to take away from the build, probably add to the price point, but I would like it if they were able to have additional torsos and legs that you could change them out for the different outfits in Act 1, Act 2, different scenes, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, they'd probably have to choose one outfit. I would like there to be a Hamilton minifigure, an Eliza minifigure, Angelica, George Washington, King George III, Aaron Burr, and then I would want, there's a minifigure of John Lawrence, which I think would be pretty cool, and perhaps you could have a different hairpiece for Philip Schuyler, or Philip Hamilton, I guess. That could happen. I don't know if that might bring up the price too much. And then also a minifigure of James Madison, again. What I would do in this instance was, what I remember from seeing the Broadway show and seeing it touring, is that I would have James Madison with a hairpiece, and then the only change to make it Hercules Mulligan would just be changing the hairpiece into a hat or whatever it was that the many actors playing Hercules and James Madison, whatever he wore during Act 1, just to change the character enough. And then For the minifigure that represents Lafayette and Jefferson, I would have, to replicate the original David Diggs look, I would have swappable torsos and legs, of course, for the different outfits between the two of them, because those are very different outfits. And then I would have two different hair pieces. Perhaps you could share the hair pieces with the other minifigures, because I could see that maybe if you change one minifigure to another alternate, maybe that hairpiece could be used for a different one. I don't know what the deal is, but again, the minifigures for John Lawrence, Hercules Mulligan, and Lafayette would be able to be changed through either torsos or hairpieces into their Act 2 character alternates. Do you have any differences in your specific idea that you'd like to call forth, Owen?
I cut both Mulligan and Madison because I don't think Lego could fit them in the set, and honestly, even though I love Oak, the actor, they're not that important to the story or notable scenes. Also, I don't think Lawrence wouldn't make it either.
but I think it couldn't hurt because it'd be easy to do since it's just fill up with a different clothes.
That is fair. Again, this would be an example of a set that could earn a variety of price points. Probably more expensive, and if it was more expensive, then you could have more minifigures, more minifigure torsos for different characters, different costumes, all sorts of things between the two acts. And so, we move on to our final price point. Oh, so sad, we're already done. Two more sets to go out of 10. $120. I way overthought this, and this, again, could be a set that could be done at a variety of price points. My set idea is from a movie that means a lot to me, one of my favorite movies that I watch every year multiple times. That is, of course, The Nightmare Before Christmas! We have seen this manifested, this movie shown in LEGO form through minifigures of Jack Skellington and Sally in the Disney Series 2 collectible minifigure series. Those are pretty good minifigures. I like to see them replicated, or at least very similar versions of minifigures. Some might argue that you should add the much larger legs to a new Jack Skellington minifigure. These larger legs are being shown up again in the Avatar sets that are coming out soon-ish. Who knows when they're coming out? October, maybe? So, I personally think they should just use the normal legs. I think it's fine enough. If you wanted to, maybe you could add, like, one-by-one bricks underneath it, or one-by-one plates, sorry, underneath the legs to make it taller. I don't know if you want. But this would be a set that represents the Halloween town, Halloween world, whatever you want to call it. It might be way too much than this, but looking at the Sesame Street set that I had sitting next to me conveniently when I wrote this list, I kind of looked through how the pieces were portioned in that set to kind of be like, oh, this is how big this building would be, or how big this set piece would be. The minifigures included would be Jack Skellington, Sally, the Mayor, Dr. Finkelstein, Lock, Shock, Barrel, the three Halloween trick-or-treaters, devil children, Oogie Boogie, of course, an alternate torso legs, maybe just a completely new minifigure for Sandy Claus, and if you wanted to, I kind of wanted to, the Wolfman with, like, the orange plaid shirt. I don't know why, but I really like him. Like, if they were gonna make a set at this price point, LEGO would exclude him, because that would be too many minifigures, and that would... And he's, like, the least important of all the characters. But I like him, so here he is. There would also probably be a new mold for Zero, which I think would be pretty cool. Okay, entering into the very long description that took me way too long to think through, but I think it could be possible. Okay, there would be a very, very small circular courtyard with a notable acid fountain seen during the end of This Is Halloween, where Jack, like, rises out of it. Like, he's flying for some reason, I don't know. So it'd be that green acid fountain. That's kind of an important part. That's where the fog comes from that delays the whole Christmas stealing thing in the end. In this courtyard, this would be where actually Halloween Town is. There would just be two small buildings, kind of rather small. The first one is Jack's house, which would be two stories, but each story would be only big enough to include one minifigure, so it's a very skinny house, and it's very short. But it's still two stories. The first story is literally a door. Maybe you can include some cool details like, oh, look, there's a coat rack with a Sandy Claus hat or something. I don't know, or a Christmas scarf or something. And then the second story on the top would be a bit larger, but just a bit. And this would be his kind of like weird Christmas lab. All sorts of things could be in there, all sorts of cool hidden details. There could be the weird electric chair with little Christmas lights on it. There could be the microscope where he crushes a holly berry or something. All sorts of things. But again, a very small building. We're looking at something, if you look at the 123 Sesame Street set, we're looking at something very similar to the kind of side corner Hooper store and Cookie Monster apartment build, but kind of narrowed a bit, but still with a pretty similar amount of pieces, and Town Hall, where Jack gives his presentation. In here, there would just be a very small stage with, like, maybe a Christmas tree, maybe not even a Christmas tree, maybe just, like, a pile of presents. And there would be, like, I would say two, maybe three benches that each have room for, like, one minifigure in each of them. This is a very thin build, just kind of longer. And again, one story, not two, but it just represents an important scene with the town meeting scene and song. The gate out of Halloween Town would, of course, be the distinctive gate that is seen at the beginning and all throughout the movie. And outside, there would be a very, 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 very small graveyard with just a couple of headstones that were seen in the Jack's Lament scene and, again, throughout. And maybe Zero's doghouse. Zero would probably not be able to fit in it, but it'd just be nice to be there. There would also be the major thing in this larger graveyard would, of course, be the distinctive spiral tree, which could have some sort of function to unfurl like I see in the movie, but probably not. It's just an important scene. It could be built similar to what we see in the Starry Night set, but then that would include probably building a backdrop, and I don't know if that would fit with the rest of the build of the set. You could do some cool stuff with the slopes and new curved bricks that have been introduced recently. Again, very important and very distinctive set piece that is distinctive of the film. There would also be, to add another thing to this very large set that probably is not worth $120, probably much more, there would be two small trees kind of off to the side of this graveyard that would have a door for the Halloween and Christmas worlds, because those are the most important ones. In between these trees, just an idea that I had to add some more details, add some more characters that weren't represented physically, would be anywhere there's a kind of an archway or a space in between buildings, there would be in the shadows of where that alley or kind of curved tree archway, there could be a sticker to include a representation of something. So in between these two trees, in like the distance between them, you could see Oogie Boogie's fortress. And then like in Halloween Town, in between the buildings and the alleyways, you could see like the band or the vampires or the witches or something. All sorts of things could be included here. To conclude this very long-winded description, just some small little details. There could be all sorts of details. They could add the sled if they wanted, the weird coffin sleigh if they wanted. I don't know if I would, but it would be pretty cool. But I would definitely include the bathtub that Lock, Shock, and Barrel travel around in, and probably the snowmobile, because that's small enough but also important enough, that Jack travels back to Halloween Town in. And that is my very long-winded description of something that will never come to fruition, but I really hope it does, because, I don't know, Nightmare Before Christmas is a cool movie to me. I think this would be a cool set. There's been a lot of ideas, submissions that look very similar to this, which means, and it, a lot of them have actually gone to 10K supporters, so I think LEGO is seeing it, but I don't know if they'll ever act on it. Any thoughts, Ohm?
I have nothing to say. It's good. It's good.
Fair enough! Now you're just becoming like the robot voice, because the robot voice said is good as well. Ohm, would you like to take over and finish off this great list of 10 sets with our last second $120 set?
Yes. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the classic Gene Wilder film. We have The Chocolate Room and the Pure Imagination Song. We've had Ideas Projects like this, but in the trend of the Jurassic World Ideas Project, there will be many scenes, not just the chocolate waterfall, but behind it. Small rooms in the back for each downfall. So, you know, like the invention room, the TV room, the one with all the geese. This sounds really lame, but it's actually kind of cool. The fan with the bubbles, and then the glass elevator on the side as well, like in the Ministry of Magic. We would have Wonka, Charlie, Grandpa Joe, Augustus, Mike, Violet, Veruca, and one Oompa Loompa. Actually, two.
I was going to say, you should have two Oompa Loompas.
They would be very expensive on the aftermarket.
For sure.
Now, LEGO almost made Willy Wonka in Dimensions. It was scheduled to happen, and it did not, because Dimensions died first. But alas, what more can I do? Sir Ohm has been vanquished. he will now ride off into the distance with underscore, comma, and an exclamation point into the deep orange sunset. Goodbye, Mickey.
Some nice imagery. I'm gonna have to applaud him on that one. I'm a big fan of this idea of a set. I think it really, I could really see what it would look like in my mind based on Ohm's description of, it's basically, there's this one ideas submission that was really popular, got 10k followers, supporters, whatever you want to call it. Didn't pass, but it was still rather fast in how it was able to gain support. So I could definitely see that waterfall, but then on the back, very similar to the Jurassic Park gate, but much smaller, but still rather large, would be small vignettes that could fit like one minifigure in there of all the downfalls, all the important scenes that show each of the rooms in the factory, and I just think that'd be super cool. But yeah, Oompa Loompas, super expensive in the aftermarket. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of the Brick Built Podcast. If you want to help us continue with the show, please rate us on whatever podcasting platform you are using to listen to this right now. It really helps. Also, please subscribe to our show so that you can be one of the first people to know when we have a new show up. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Make sure to spread the word on social media and in real life, and visit our website, The Brick Built Podcast, as seen either through Google or your neighborhood search browser, or through our social media pages. Look in the description at the top.
Thanks for listening, and let us know if you like the sexy Ohm voice better than normal Ohm.